John from Indiana. I had the privilege of meeting him this week, and I think you will enjoy his lead.
Well, hello, my name is John Kay, and I'm 17 years old and a grateful member of Allison. I want to say something before I started. I guess there's really not much way that I can give a bad talk today, because there's many people out there that really care about me, really love me, that are pulling for me. And also, if any of y'all want to talk to my higher power, just congregate around this chair over here after the meeting. Because he's there and he's going to help me along. Because I don't think I can do it alone. And I want to tell you that he loves you. And he loves me. And he's going to take care of me. Well, some of you know that Mom's speaking tomorrow. And so if I say something that isn't quite right, I think just be glad to take care of it tomorrow. Yeah, thanks, Mom. Well, someone once told me that you only need two things to be a good speaker. And those two things are gray hair and hemorrhoids.
The gray hair makes you look distinguished, and the hemorrhoids kind of give you a look of concern.
I don't have either, so I'm just going to try. You know that thing I said about God being there? He is there. But a year ago, I wouldn't have believed that. Because I didn't have any faith in God.
Because God, to me, was just God. I always believed in God.
But to me, he was just far away. He was just some old man with long gray hair who sat out in space. Sent people to heaven and hell and took his collection and took his hat on the Sunday collection.
But in the last year, I've really come to know God, because he's taken care of me. And he's loved me when I didn't even love myself. And I want to thank everyone for that. Because I didn't have that faith. And I needed it so bad. But I can do anything now because God's on my side. He always has been. And it kind of started when someone explained it to me in a very simple way. Because they said that whenever they really had problems that they couldn't cope with, they were always running around worried about what they were going to do about it. And, oh my God, what am I going to do now? But it seemed kind of like God was like a little puppy that you see. It's always running around, scampering around, saying, hey, is there anything I can do? Can I help? And the whole time, I never really realized that. But like Ken said yesterday, he loves me, no matter what I do. That really feels good. That was the unplanned part of my talk. I'm a person that really loves to organize things, and that was kind of my downfall for a while, because a couple times I gave another Alateen talk. And it was right when I first wrote it out and thought about it. But the last couple of times I gave it, it wasn't me. You know, it wasn't honest because I had changed so much in 3 years. And I was asked to talk, I think, on the strength of that talk. And I hope maybe this one will be just as good, maybe better. You know, I could tell you all the things I've learned in Alateen, but I imagine you've all heard it before. And a lot of people talk about how they got the things that they learned in Alateen. And that's really good. I could talk a lot about that. But that isn't my problem now. My problem is keeping what I've learned. Because I've used a lot of Alateen, but I have a lot of problems with using it. Sometimes because I just forget about it. When I first came to Alateen, I saw what everyone had in that meeting. I really wanted it. I wanted to be accepted so bad because I never felt I was anywhere else. And in Alateen, they accepted me for what I was and respected me for what I was. And it really felt good for people to love me with no strings. You have to excuse me for a second. I can't see these notes. But I really listened those first 3 years to what they had to say. And I used the things that they taught me in the program every chance I got. And I really grew. I accepted myself for the first time. And I had some confidence in myself. But somewhere along the way, something happened. Somehow, I just lost the meaning of Alateen. I stopped going to meetings to improve myself, to work on my problems. And I started going to meetings because I could impress people with how smart I was, how well I knew the program, and be the great humanitarian that I always thought I was. And to me, I really was, because I could help just about anyone with just about any problem they had, except myself, because I was great at giving advice and quoting literature and all that good stuff. But all the smart things I said didn't do me a bit of good when it came to my own problems, because I just wouldn't use the program and try to see where I was. I've always liked to hear myself talk, and so I really loved Alateen. I also started, well, I kept on helping other people out, but I quit helping them for their sake. I helped them for my sake, because it made me feel important. It made me feel really big. I got a pretty big head, because as far as I was concerned, I had Louisville, New Albany, Jeffersonville, and Clarksville depending on me, and they couldn't live without me. But I found out that's not quite the story. I also had a couple other reasons for going to Alateen. These were even less reasons than the ones before. Because one thing I've loved to do, and I've always loved to do, is flirt. There were always new girls coming into Alateen. And when they'd come in, they'd see just how concerned I was for them, how much I cared, how much I helped, and they figured any guy worth that was worth having. But it seemed like the relationships would never really last for long, because after a while they'd really see how I was, that I wasn't like my first impression. And besides, I loved to go to a meeting a lot of times, because I knew that after the meeting, me and a couple friends would get together and we'd go out partying for a while. And the meetings just kind of became an inconvenience before the real fun started. You know, like I said before, I could impress people with the program that I knew, how smart I was. And because of it, I got awful conceited. In fact, there was even one meeting that I attended only when I felt that they deserved it. And I'm serious. Because when I went over there, it was a new group, and I was treated like a king because of all the time I'd been in Alateen and all the program that I knew. And even the sponsors did it. They even looked up to me because they came in the same time as the kids. But one thing that really made my head swell was when I was appointed chairman of the Kentucky Alateen Conference last year. And I know how you feel, Eleanor, about those apologies. Because I had to make a lot, too. And I can thank God that I didn't have near as much power as I thought I did. Because somehow that conference got put on after all. But thinking back, a lot of the conferences were really the biggest put on for me of all. Because at the Al-Anon conferences, AA conferences, a couple of friends and I would get together and we'd rent a room. And we'd go down Friday night and we'd con the hell out of all the AAs and Al-Anons on how good we were and all that, how smart we were. And then, you know, we'd make an appearance at a meeting and end up partying the rest of the weekend. But the worst thing about that was that we thought we were getting away with it, but we weren't. Just about everyone knew. The only thing was that most people didn't say anything. And when they did, I didn't listen to it because I figured, well, they don't like me and that's their problem. They're just looking for something to pick at. Because of my attitude, the way I felt that I was so great, I started getting in a little group within our Alateen group. And these were the people that I felt were, I guess you'd say, worthy of my friendship. I could talk to anyone during the meeting and really try to help them out and really tell myself how much I cared about them. But if one of the people that wasn't in my crowd called during the week with a problem, I could think of 1,000 excuses not to talk to them. I guess you could really say that I was stuck up. And I was also a hypocrite, because there isn't anything in the world I hate more than a stuck up person. And I came to find out that included myself. And one of the reasons that I had such a low image of myself, actually, that I had to build myself up in these ways, was that I was insecure. In Alateen, I'd put up a big front that I knew everything and I was perfect, and everyone, well, lots of people believed it, lots of people didn't. But in school, I handled it differently. I would just sit back and I was quiet. I'd mind my own business, not get to know anyone. And I didn't really like myself, and I was searching for something. And I thought there were two things that gave me security. And you won't believe when you hear these. The two things were alcohol and girls. Now, at first, both of them really turned me on, but after a while, they just kind of turned on me. Don't ask me how. But I did have a really bad drinking problem this last summer. Because I'd just go ahead and stumble through the day, looking forward to that night, because I knew I could go out and get drunk and or high. And that was the high point of my day. I know it caused Mom and Dad a lot of hurt and worry, but there wasn't much that they could do. They sure tried. Dad talked to me as much as he could. He kept asking me if I had a problem. I said, well, I might. And deep down I said, oh, no, I don't have any problem with it. I just like to party. But I think my drinking tore Mom up, especially because she wasn't sure what to do. I've never really made any amends for that. I want to say, Mom, I'm sorry. I love you too. But it just seemed at the time that I didn't care how she felt as long as she didn't bother me. Lots of times when I was out partying, I felt a lot more comfortable because I didn't worry so much about being accepted. You know, when I was drunk, I didn't have to be as important as I thought I was when I wasn't, when I was sober. And I thought I was happier drunk, but actually when I think about it, that's when most of my depression came, and lots of times that's when I'd get in all my fights. I don't think I got in a fight where I was sober. But now, two of the people that were in my main drinking crowd are active members recovering in AA. And but for the grace of God, I could be right alongside them. I was lucky. All I needed was to like myself. Also, getting back to that other thing, you wouldn't believe how many times I fell in love. It got kind of ridiculous after a while, but I could make even a very simple and unserious relationship very serious to me because I needed that security. And when it fell through, when something happened, I really got hurt just about every time. But I was awful smart. I knew that because I had a solution for that. Some of you may think this is kind of a screwed up solution. I do. But my solution was just to not let anyone get close enough to hurt me. To just keep people away. And it worked. But I still hurt inside. Because on the outside I was real happy and outgoing. But when someone would try to get close to me or get too close to me, I'd go ahead and build my walls up, build my castle of lies and conning, and really hurt people that really cared. But the funny thing is, my conscience is a lot like me. It makes itself heard. And every time that I could see that I'd hurt someone, you know, I'd say to myself, well, it's their own damn fault for letting someone get that close to them. But inside I could tell that I'd done something that I didn't like, and I liked myself less each time. And I guess I just really lost the ability to love anyone but myself. But if you'll remember, that wasn't any good because I hated myself. I'd probably be the same way now, except for the guy sitting in that chair there, God, he was looking out for me. And he really got me straightened out through a lot of circumstances that I had no idea were going to happen. But I come from a long line of Blarney-filled, stubborn, drunken Irishmen. And I was just about the cream of the crop, so God had it rough with me. When I first got my license last summer, I was pretty hot stuff. You know, I was pretty cool. I could go along squealing tires, burning up tires. and doing all kinds of dumb things, but, you know, I had a wreck after the first 3 months. But, heck, that wasn't my fault. Hell, if Richard Petty couldn't have died at that fence and jumped out in front of me, what could I do? Mom and Dad took that pretty well. They didn't seem too upset. But they did get upset 3 days later. I wrecked Dad's car. They weren't so upset about the wreck, but the thing that really bothered them was that I called up at 6 o'clock Saturday morning from 30 miles away telling them to bring my checkbook so I could pay for the wrecker. And all this time I was supposed to be 2 miles away spending the night. Well, I got grounded for four weeks. And they took my license and keys away for 6. And I was kind of resentful for a while. But now that I look back, that time was really good for me. It gave me time to think about what was wrong with me. And I knew something was. Because the average kid doesn't get grounded 4 out of 12 months a year. I'm almost positive. The average kid doesn't have 2 wrecks in 3 days. And as far as I could see, the average kid didn't drink near as much as me, or didn't depend on it as much as me. Mom and Dad made one concession when I was grounded. They let me go to an Al-Anon conference in Alabama. And I think that God was watching over me and helping them along, because I know it was a hard decision for them, but I think it's one of the best things that happened to me, because I think it was the beginning of my rebirth in Alateen, because I'd been in for 7 years. I'd grown 3 and just stayed like a mud puddle that sets in the hot sun and gets stagnant. I wasn't going anywhere. But when I got down there, I found out that the board of the conference was watching me to make sure I stayed out of trouble. And when they're worried about you screwing up their conference 400 miles away, you know there's something wrong. But I learned so much in that weekend, more than I'd learned in the past 3 years. And for the first time, I saw myself for what I was. All I was a swell-headed kid who figured he could get whatever he wanted by conning whoever he wanted. And I was not God's gift to mankind or womankind. I thought I was for a while, but come to find out, a lot of people thought of me more as God's plague than his gift. I made a lot of long overdue amends that weekend. And every conference since then has been a good experience, because I found out for myself, or I rediscovered how a conference should be, what my attitude should be, and what I was there for. And I could start going out and meeting new people instead of hanging around the same people. There's nothing wrong with the same people, but still, I've experienced so much more and grown so much more from meeting new people. Because when I came down here, I only knew one person very well, and that was Mom. And I had talked to Sue, and I knew who she was, but I didn't know too much about her, so I figured if I was going to have any good time at all this weekend, I was going to have to get off my butt and make some friends. But everyone just really made me feel welcome, and I appreciate that. Especially a lot of the Alateens. Well, God gave me some time to think when I was grounded. But I think he wanted to give me some more time. Because the day that Dad had my license and keys in his hand ready to give them to me, the mail came. And the insurance company had canceled me on the day I was supposed to start driving again. I had a few months to think about it then, because hardly anyone wanted to insure a 16-year-old kid with 2 wrecks. But I finally got insurance 2 months later, and it helped me realize something, or it helped me understand something more often, because now I realize that driving is a responsibility 10 times a year instead of once every 6 months, and it's twice as expensive. But apparently God wasn't finished with me yet. I think he wanted to give me a little more time to think, because a month after I got my insurance, my license was suspended because the other insurance company screwed up. And it wasn't my fault or anything, it's just something that happened. And I really got upset about it. But Dad finally made me realize there wasn't anything I could do about it but go down and try to straighten it out in a calm manner. And then I thought about it some more, and I realized it was my own doing, so I couldn't complain too much. But I'm driving now. My car don't work, but I drive. I'm driving now. My car don't work, but I drive. You know, I could have had help all this time if I'd just accepted it. But I just didn't believe what was said because of who was saying it. And I think that goes against tradition 12, putting principles above personalities. But there were two people who could see me as no one else could. And one was an old girlfriend that I was still hurting over, and the other was Mom. And I resented them more than anyone else, because there was hardly any way I could con either one of them. And that upset me. No one can understand my relationship with Mom, because Mom is a very beautiful person and she can get along with just about everyone. And I can usually get along with just about everyone. But when the two of us get together, it's almost impossible to stay on good terms for long. I think the main problem is we're so much alike, even as much as both of us hate to admit it. But when I'd see one of her faults, it would usually end up being one of mine. And that really bugged me. You know, I talked to her a couple months ago, and in the talking that we had, I had told her that I resented how confident she always felt while I was so insecure. But she caught me off guard. Boy, did she catch me off guard. Because she told me she felt the very same way about me. And for the first time, I really realized that Mom was a real person, a real human being, with her weaknesses too. And since then, we've gotten a lot closer. We've made a lot of progress because we've both been trying. And I think this conference has really helped me and Mom out a lot, because no time do I know of have we ever had 8 hours alone to just talk. And never have I felt that my opinions were so accepted. She talked to me more as a person than as her son. You know, she realized that I had opinions too. And we really, really had a fantastic time. It's the best 8 hours I've ever spent with my mom. And I want to thank you for that, because it wouldn't have happened if you hadn't asked me to talk here and asked her. I thank God for the way it worked. You know, God's got a funny way. I think sometimes he's got an awful cockeyed way of doing things. But if he did things my way all the time, I guess I'd be God. And I guess somehow he must know something more than me, because it seems like everything he does to me always turns out for the best. Somehow. Mom has helped me more than anyone else, because she never pulled any punches. She always told me what she thought and where she thought I was wrong. And when she hit, it hurt, because she knew what she was talking about. She helped me realize that I had one problem, and it was causing all my other problems. And it was the simple one. Surprised I didn't see it myself, actually. But I was a con artist.
whatever I wanted, I could usually get by lying and misleading people. And I really felt proud of that for a long time. In fact, because of that, I conned myself into believing that I was about the best thing to hit this world since Jesus Christ himself. Boy, was I disappointed when I found out I wasn't perfect. For the first time in 6 years of being an Alateen, I took the fourth step, really a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. You know, I'd taken steps 1 through 3. I didn't have any problem with those. And I'd taken 5 through 12, but there was something wrong with them, because if the steps aren't worked in order, at least to me, in my experience, then they won't work. Some people don't have to work them in order, but I do. Because I lost something, because how can you admit to God, yourself, and another human being the exact nature of your wrongs when you don't really know them? And I didn't know them until I took that fourth step. And it really hurt me. But it really helped me to see where I was going. It really straightened me out. And I think this talk is my fifth step. You know, I had written the talk out about a month ago, and I just couldn't hold it inside anymore. And last Friday, I went to a candlelight meeting, an Alateen meeting at home, and I got all these things out. And I guess that's the first time I really took the fifth step, and I'm just trying to make sure someone knows that I did it with all you people here. I was afraid that no one loved me. I don't know what I expected of people, because they did everything they could, and they did love me. I was really afraid of being hurt. So I'd set up my con game. I hurt a lot of people who really cared. And I thought I had everyone fooled. I thought everyone believed that I was perfect. But you know, the people who really loved me saw right through me. They knew what was going on. In fact, just last Wednesday, well, I'll tell you, the reason that I don't believe that anyone should be perfect is because it's awful hard for anyone else to relate to you. Because at that same candlelight meeting, a girl had a problem that I'd gone through too, and I know it was a big problem to her, because it was big to me, and she was really hurting. There's just so much I had to say, so much I wanted to say. And I just got up and hugged her and said, "It's going to be okay. I know how you feel. It's happened to me too." And just this last Wednesday, she was in another meeting with me, and she said that it was the first time since she'd come in Alateen about 3 months before that she realized that I wasn't perfect, that I was human too, and I had problems. And it really shocked me at first, because, you know, it didn't really sink in until then that I did have some people fooled. Dad helped me a lot too. And the main thing that he helped me with was an old AA saying that I'd really love to borrow from you, and that's gratitude will change your attitude. And once I realized what God and Alateen had given to me, you know, I wasn't so important anymore. I was a normal person again. I wasn't Mr. Super Alateen. I was Sean Kelly, and I was a member of Alateen. You know, Dad has a poster in his office, and that poster, I think, says a lot, because it says, "Don't walk behind me, I may not lead. Don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Just walk beside me and be my friend." And to me, that just really completely sums up the fellowship of the program and how it should be. Because no one is any better or any worse than anyone else. And I had to realize that. I must accept everyone in the program, even if I don't like some people. And there are some people I don't like. But The thing is, even if I don't like those people, I still have to love them. And I do love every one of you. And once I realized this, I became pretty humble. I realized I wasn't so important. And I wasn't too important to help a new member or talk to someone about Alateen, which I thought I was before. I'd just go ahead and call someone else up and say, well, can you talk to these people? Or if someone would call up, I'd say, well, I'm busy right now. You think you could call Jim or Joe or someone? And it was funny because I didn't realize I was doing it. But for the first time in a long time, I wanted to help other people out because I loved, not because I needed to be loved. And it really felt good. You can't imagine the feeling that I felt, how much better I felt knowing that. But see, there's something I missed out on, because if I had worked the program the way it should be worked, I wouldn't have had any problem at all. I had a big habit of complicating everything. You know, Alateen, AA, and Al-Anon work if we don't clutter them up. And who do we impress by complicating the program? If I were a new member and if I'd come in and seen how complicated I had made the program, I doubt that I would have come back. I would have probably gotten discouraged to say, wow, this is weird. I can't get a hold of all that. You know, there are just a few simple things that we have to do. And you'll have to realize that in this country, we elect people to complicate things, so why should we do their job? I think my problem, though, was that I got too smart for the program. You know, I knew all about it, and so I guess I didn't need it anymore. And it's about like the four guys riding in an airplane. And the airplane was going to crash, and there were only three parachutes. The four people were the pilot, a priest, a hobo, and a guy who thought he was the smartest man in the world. Well, the pilot took one chute because he already had on his back and he was out before anyone could say anything. And then the smartest man in the world, he figured that his life ought to be saved because eventually he was going to save the world from nuclear destruction or whatever. And so he grabbed the chute away from the hobo. And so they were left with just the priest and the hobo. And the priest looked over and said, why don't you go? I've led a long and happy life, and I've accomplished what I need to accomplish. And the hobo just looked back, and a big grin came across his face, and he chuckled a little and said, listen, we can both go. The smartest man in the world just jumped with my knapsack. And that's just the way I was. I was so smart that I just couldn't see the simple things in Alateen. But thanks to a lot of people in Alateen who really helped and really wanted to help and really cared, and thanks to Mom and Dad and some other people, I got stupid again. Thank God. I wish I had sooner. But we have to remember, oh wow, I already did that. Something that kind of upsets me is that I don't think that the program is stressed enough in Alateen, at least where I come from. You know, the steps, traditions, and slogans aren't always stressed enough. I know of one sponsor in Louisville who was continually drilling program into the meetings, and I really resented her for making my meetings boring, going over the 12 steps again and again, doing all this other neat stuff. And a lot of other people resented it too, and she knew it. But she stuck with what she believed in. And I really love her, I really respect her, because I really think that without her doing that, it's a possibility Alateen could have died in that area very easily. Someone asked me the other day, or last night, you know, how do we get the program to be so interesting that people want to listen? And it's very simple, really, because if you're going to be discussing the 12 steps and the questions they have in the Alateen book and everything, you know, it's going to be boring. But if people can talk about how they've related each step to their life, then it isn't boring. People can identify with that. I can. And it really works, and you can get, I've gotten an understanding of the 12 steps, traditions, and slogans because of that. The program is what holds Alateen together. You know, the Beatles were wrong when they said in one of their songs, "All you need is love." Love is very important in Alateen, but you also need the program. Think of it as two people who have absolutely nothing in common except that they love each other. Now, it's awful hard. It's nearly impossible for them to make it. But alcoholism is our common problem. And the program, the 12 steps, traditions, and slogans are what holds us together. It's our common solution. Also, I've learned that I need to keep using the program, because if you could ask any AA member who's been sober for a long time, he'll tell you that if he gets too smart for the program, most likely he'll end up getting drunk. And I'm the same way. If I get too smart for my Alateen and I quit using it, then I'll slip back to what I was before. I'll be the very same place I was, and I don't want to do that. There's one thing that has really helped me out in the last year or so, and that was when I gained some faith. It came slow, but it kept coming. When I could really, well, I'd always heard "let go and let God" from the time I came in Alateen. But, you know, that didn't mean a whole lot. I'd say, "God, here, take this problem," then I'd go ahead and try to solve it my way anyway, and didn't really realize it. But once I started having some faith in God and really letting him know, you know, that I was ready to let go of this, then it was okay. And I knew I was going to be okay. I was nervous when I got up here at first, but I knew I was going to be okay because God was looking out for me. And it's a really great feeling, because I knew that there wasn't much way I could go wrong. I'd really like to thank the host committee of this conference and Sue for asking me to talk, inviting me to talk. And also I'd like to thank Mom and Dad for all the help they've given me, all the support and all the love that they gave me without asking anything in return. Because they really did. And I really love you, Mom. But also I'd like to thank Mom and Dad because of a very obvious reason. Because if it weren't for them, I certainly wouldn't be here. I've said just about all I can say now, but I want to ask all of you all one favor. Tonight, before you go to bed, say a prayer for me. Please ask the Lord to help me keep on loving, and to please, please keep me stupid. Thank you.